This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about living in the above and beyond kind of faith.
We have started a series of messages on living by faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, if you've received Him as your Savior, as your Lord, then that's talking about you. You're supposed to be living by faith. For Christians, there is no subject that is more important for us to understand than faith. No subject, nothing in the entire Bible that is more important for us to understand than faith. Now, why would I say that? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't walk with God. Without faith, you can't see God moving in your life. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that without faith, you can't even get saved. So from beginning to end, this Christian life is about faith. And if there's anything that we need to understand, it's how to walk in faith, how to live by faith. Look back at that Hebrews 11:6 for a moment, because it tells us something else that's vital about faith. We saw that without faith, we cannot please God. Our very relationship with Him is based upon the quality of the faith that we have in Him. But it also tells us something else. Look at what it says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Did you catch the last part of that verse? It says, we are to believe. Here is part of what our faith consists of. We have to believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How many of you believe that your employer is a rewarder of those who diligently work for him or her? How many of you believe that? How many of you, when you went to work, you worked for a week or 2 weeks before you got a paycheck? How many of you? Amen. Because I've never worked for anybody that paid me up front. Isn't that right? So now, when you worked for 2 weeks or a week or whatever it was, and you hadn't seen a red cent, what were you operating in? Faith in your employer. Isn't that right? You said, if I work for this person, they are going to reward my work. Because believe me, I know something about you. Every one of you. If you didn't think you were going to get paid, you would not be on that job. Amen? Amen. And so you were walking in the faith that your employer would reward you for doing what he asked you to do. Now God says, I want you to understand that in that way, he works the same way. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if I really believe that, if I have faith that God is indeed a rewarder of those who seek him, I am going to line up my life to operate in line with the way God operates so that I will receive the reward. How many of you want God's rewards? Anybody? You know what that reward is? It's abundant life. It's the best life on this earth. It's life that works the way it's supposed to work. Not life without challenges. You will have challenges. But life in which we are more than conquerors. That's what the word says. Amen. We are overcomers. Life in which we know Christ is on our side and will never leave us nor forsake us. Life in which we know that he has promised to supply our every need. Our God shall supply how much of our need? all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, that's what abundant life is all about. That's what the reward is. When we diligently seek God. And if we believe that, if we really believe it, we're going to do what it takes to get our lives lined up with the way God operates so that we can receive the reward. Now today we want to talk about how God operates in one particular area. And in order for us to get an understanding of that principle, we're going to look at the example of a man who didn't understand that principle. And because he didn't understand that principle, he failed to receive God's best. 2 Kings chapter 13, starting with verse 17. Joash was the king of Israel. And the Syrians were coming against them. And Joash had gone to the prophet Elisha, who was on his deathbed. And Elisha, speaking even then for God, said to the king, look, I want you to take some arrows. First of all, take an arrow and a bow and shoot the arrow. And he said, this is the arrow of God's deliverance from the Syrians. And now, Joash, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some arrows in your hand and strike them. Strike them on the ground. And so Joash struck three times. And Elisha got mad at him. He said, you should have struck more times than that. You should have struck five or six times, because now you will only defeat the Syrians three times. If you'd put more into it, Joash, you'd have gotten more out of it. You see, here's the principle that Joash didn't understand. The principle that is a fundamental principle of the Word of God. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Here's the principle that was operating there that Joash didn't grasp. And because he didn't grasp, he didn't put enough into that situation to get out of it everything that God wanted him to get. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, do you catch the connection? Elisha had said to Joash, take the arrows and strike. He didn't tell him how many times to strike. And so Joash struck the number of times he felt like it. He only struck three times. And Elisha said, you needed to sow more. If you had sown more into the situation, you would have reaped more. But you only sowed a little bit. And now you're going to pay the price. You're going to miss out on God's best. You see, this is the principle of the Word. This is the way from Old Testament to New Testament that God operates. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. Go over to 2 Kings again to chapter 4. Look at another instance in which this principle is at work. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go. Borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the filled ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now catch it. Elisha came to this woman, or she came to Elisha, don't have anything. What have you got in the house? Just a little bit of oil. And so what does Elisha the prophet tell her to do? You go borrow some vessels. Go borrow some. Not just a few, but a lot of them. Go borrow some. And so she did. And she borrowed those vessels, and they brought them in the house and started pouring the oil. And guess what? They poured into one. And you know, and I'm sure this is what they did. They pour it in there, and they see, man, I didn't think there was that much oil in there, but that thing is full. And then they pour it into another. Man, do you see? Wait a minute, let me look in there. The oil kept flowing. As long as there was a vessel to receive it, the number of vessels that they had, the oil kept flowing. And it was not until there were no more vessels that the oil ceased. Now, do you catch the connection? As many vessels as they had invested into that situation, God said, I'll fill them. I'll fill every one. The only limitation is what you're willing to put into it. When you reach your limit of what you're willing to put in, you have reached God's limit of what he's willing to give you out of it. God says, you will reap what you sow. Amen? In fact, it goes even beyond that. What God is saying is this. This is the principle. God is saying, how much I do is going to be based on how much you're willing to do. And what we will reap in what I call multiplied proportion to what we sow. Multiplied proportion. What does that mean? We don't just get back what we put in. God multiplies it. Amen? She just had a little bit of oil. Just enough to just see there's some oil in there. And God multiplied it based on what she was willing to invest in that situation. Multiplied proportion. That's what God will give us when we're willing to sow into him. Now, how many of us believe in that principle? That we're going to reap based on what we sow. Amen? Multiplied proportion to what we're willing to put in. I have to tell you something, though. We say we believe it, but my observation is most of us, most of the time, don't act on it. And I can tell you why I know that. Paul said, I am chief among sinners. I'm going to have to come before you and say, I am chief among sinners. You want to know where this sermon came from? One morning in my devotions, in my quiet time, I read from this passage in 2 Kings. But before I'd even read, I'd been praying, and what I had to do was come before the Lord and say, Lord, there's a certain area in my life, and I realize I haven't been putting into that what I should. I have not been going to be excellent in that area of my life. I haven't been serving you with everything I've got in that area. I need you to forgive me. I had to repent. Because I wasn't doing it. And then after I had done that, I read that passage of scripture. And I say, I think the Lord's telling me something here. I think I'm getting a message. I need to have a consciousness that says what I invest, God is going to multiply it back to me. Therefore, I need to be ready to invest everything I got. Everything I got. Not holding back. Not just putting in a little bit. How many of us here today would be willing to stand up and say, when I was in school, I did the very best I could? Got a few. Now, the only reason I got my hand up is to show you what to do. Amen. Because I know I can't claim that. Because what did most of us do in school? Enough to get by. Isn't that right? Enough to get by. When I was in high school, I didn't really have to study. I coasted through high school. And so when I got to college, guess what? These folks actually want me to work. I'm not used to this. And I learned how to do enough to get by. You know what that meant? That meant the test is tomorrow at 8 o'clock. It is now 11 o'clock the night before. Let me find my book and start studying. Do enough to get by. Amen? I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of us would have to say that even today, those of us who are out of school, we're still just doing enough to get by? You no longer have to punch a time clock at work And you know nobody will see you if you get there 5 minutes late. And so, what's your habit? 5 minutes late, amen? And of course, you realize that at the end of the day, nobody's going to notice if you leave 5 minutes early. So, what are you doing? 5 minutes early. And of course, everybody takes a few minutes more for lunch. Isn't that right? So you don't feel bad about that. And oh, those 32 personal phone calls you took yesterday, well, you know, you got to take care of business, right? See, what do? Just enough to get by. The other day, Priscilla came home from work and said to me, would you please put some gas in my car? She was tired. Would you please put some gas in my car so I won't have to get up early in the morning to gas it up? And as I always am doing, I was industriously working at other things, and I forgot. And man, I finished what I was doing. I was tired. I was sleepy. I was looking forward to bed. And suddenly this thought popped into my mind. And I know it was God that did it to me. He reminded me that she had asked me to put gas in her car. I looked at the clock. It was 12:30 in the morning. And so naturally I started calculating. Now, let's see, what time is she going to get up? And, you know, she's a woman, so it takes her some time to get ready. So if I get up in the morning, I can get out and I can get gas in that car before she's ready to leave. But God is good. God said, go get the gas. Amen. So I got out and went and got the gas. And I'm glad I did, because when I got into bed, Priscilla turned over and said, did you put gas in my car? But see, here's the thing. I want you to know that when I got out to that gas station at 12:30 in the morning, putting gas in Priscilla's car, and you have to understand this. Priscilla's got this little car. When I get in that car, I'm doing like this. And so when I'm putting gas in her car at 12:30 in the morning, I am feeling good. I am feeling like I did something. Amen? I mean, we sang the song, Bow Down and Worship Him. I'm feeling like when I get home, she ought to bow down. But then God hit me again. He said, wait a minute. All you did is what you were supposed to do. That's all you did. All you did was you just got by. And the Holy Spirit didn't really say this to me, but he was probably thinking it. And if I hadn't reminded you of it, you wouldn't have just gotten by. Amen. Go over to Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Here's the issue. The way so many of us normally operate in life is with a just get by attitude. We're willing to do just enough so that we don't suffer negative consequences, just enough so that we get a passing grade, just enough to make it over. And God says just enough is not enough. Luke chapter 17, verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. See it? When we do just what we're supposed to do, God says, you don't get any brownie points for that. You don't get any pats on the backs for that. You just did what you were supposed to do. That was your responsibility. That earns you nothing. You got to go beyond doing just what you're supposed to do. Go beyond just getting through. When I was at IBM, we used to get performance appraisals every year. And on the performance appraisal form, they had about five categories. And one of those categories was does not meet expectations. And the next one up was meets expectations. And then it went on to exceed expectations at times and exceeds expectations. And then Superman, whatever Superman was. But the thing that I took note of was this. On that hierarchy of evaluations, meets expectations was down at the bottom. If you just met expectations, you were just barely making it through. What they were looking for were the people who didn't just meet expectations, but exceeded them. My manager once told me how to get promoted. He says, you know the way to get promoted around here? It's not by doing your job. It's not by doing the job that you're being paid for right now. No, the way you get promoted is you start performing at the next higher level, and over a period of time, people will see that you're performing at that level, and then they will promote you. But nobody's going to promote you on speculation. Nobody's going to promote you because you look good. Nobody's going to promote you because you show up and do just enough to get through. You see, even in the world, it doesn't work. Amen? It doesn't work in the world. And it doesn't work in the kingdom of God. We need to develop not a just enough attitude, but an above and beyond attitude. You see, that's what King Joash needed. He needed an above and beyond attitude. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 13 and look at verses 18 and 19 again. I want you to see something here. Elisha speaking to King Joash. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Now here's what caught my attention. Why was Elisha angry with him? Elisha didn't tell him how many times to strike. Did you catch that? He just said, strike. Elisha didn't tell him to strike three times or six times or 10 times. He just said, strike. And then when Joash didn't strike enough, Elisha got angry. Now, is that fair? Is that fair? Here's the deal. The problem Joash had was he had a just get through mindset. He said, Elisha said, strike. And here's what he probably was thinking. Okay, Elisha says, strike. Okay, I'm going to strike. Now, if I strike one time, that'll be good. If I strike two times, that's more than he told me. Man, if I strike three times, that's going to be outstanding. And so he struck three times. And Elisha said, you blew it. You messed it up. And notice something, he did not get a second chance. No second chance on this. Without being told, somehow the prophet Elijah expected him to take those arrows and strike them many times. You know what Joash needed that he didn't have? He needed an over and above, an above and beyond mindset. See, if he was the kind of person that any time he went into a situation, he was saying to himself, no, I'm not just going to give it just enough to get through. I'm going to give it over and above what it takes to get through. I'm going to be the person that puts not just 100% into it, but I'm going to be the one that goes above and beyond what everybody else is putting into it. That's who I am in every situation. When you have that kind of an attitude, nobody has to tell you how many times to do it. You will do it many times because that's the kind of person you are. Joash fell short because he had just a just get through attitude. And that's the attitude that so many of us have had for most of our lives. Amen? Right. Just get through. And catch it. Joash did not know that he was being tested. He didn't know that this situation was a test for him. He's just got the prophet Elisha on his deathbed. And Elisha's telling him to do something that didn't make any sense. What good is he going to do to just strike arrows on the floor? But that was a test. And the results of that test were going to influence him for the rest of his life. How many times have we been in a situation where in God's mind, he had already made the determination, if you will go above and beyond just enough to get through, I will give you a multiplied proportion of what you sow. And we didn't even know about it. But you see, that's the way God operates. And so we just went on our normal way and just put in just enough to get by. And God said, you know, I had all of this over here for you. But because you only put in enough to get by, here's what you get. And we never knew what we missed. He didn't even tell us when we were in the test. You see what that means? If we're going to make it, if we're going to have the abundant life, if we're going to have the reward of those who diligently seek Him, it's not going to be because whenever God tells us this is a test. Remember those old things they used to do on the TV in the Cold War? You know, to prepare you for the atomic bomb, Conrad or something they called it. This is a test of the emergency broadcast network. God doesn't come and say that. God just allows you to go into the situation. It is a test. He doesn't tell you it's a test, but He wants to see what you'll do. And if we come into that situation saying, I just want to get through, then God says what you put in is what you get out. But if we're willing to go into it and give beyond and above what it takes to just get through, God says, I'll multiply it back to you. Isn't that great? I will multiply it back to you. That's the way God is. Go over to Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Look at what God says. Look at how He operates. Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 29. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. Isn't that great? Somebody coined the term pie in the sky, by and by. Jesus said, When you sow into the kingdom of God, not only do you receive eternal life, but what did He say? You get 100-fold right here and right now. If I were to tell you there was a bank in San Francisco that would give you 100-fold return on your money every month, how many of you would be on a plane tomorrow? Amen? That's a pretty good return, isn't it? 100-fold. He multiplies it back to us. But it all depends on what we're willing to put in. I'm determined to not just get through, but to go above and beyond. Because I know God is going to give back to me in multiplied proportion what I'm willing to sow in Him.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.